Hello, welcome to Good Games Well Played, episode 134. I'm Clint, aka JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Isley is out of town. Hopefully he's playing plenty of Baldur's Gate and watching Gen V. Hopefully Castlevania Nocturne. And maybe Captain Laserhawk, because that's really good. I watched that, and that was a fun time. A lot of references in that show, but I'm curious, like, because it's a lot of Ubisoft properties, I'm wondering how many references I didn't get. Like, I got, like, okay, the Far Cry, the Assassin's Creed, the Watch Dogs, the Rayman, super obvious because he's a character. But then I'm like, what else am I missing? That, like, I got the Beyond Good and Evil characters, they're there, but then, like, who else is a, you know, is there that I don't know about?
Mm-hmm.
But that was a fun show. I'm hoping it gets renewed for season two. It definitely sets up a season two, so I'm hoping they get it. But it seems like everything that Adi's done so far has been getting second. I mean, Castlevania has been going on for so long, and then Nocturne just got a second season, and then obviously we have DMC coming out eventually. Who knows if that'll get a second season, but I'm hoping this one does. I'm sure it'll be up to Netflix and Ubisoft, but and I'm guessing it'll also depend on if the, I know, didn't the VFX union for Disney, aren't they gonna vote to unionize or whatever? As well, like, wasn't that something that's supposed to happen? So I'm curious if any animation studios are also going to, or no, is animation one of them?
I don't know.
Is?
I don't know if it was Disney specifically. I know Marvel, the VFX team for Marvel was talking about unionizing.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
voting to unionize or whatever.
Yeah, I'm wondering if any animators are going to. Because, yeah, I guess that could be, like, if they do, then that would put a stop to it. But I'm hoping it gets a second season because it was a fun little show. But, yeah, we'll go ahead and, again, there's not a whole lot of news. We had some big releases this week with, obviously, Mario Wonder. I'm not going to play it. My kid will play it eventually, so I'm sure I'll get side stories from him. And then I'm guessing you haven't played it yet. If you had planned to play it, I'm not sure.
Thinking about it. We'll see. I wasn't planning on it, but then I started watching a few people stream it, and I was like, this is very adorable, and now I want to play it, so we'll see.
Yeah, and then Spider-Man 2 came out this week as well, so we'll talk about that. But yeah, the first bit of news is the Xbox Game Pass late October 2023 lineup was announced this week. It includes things like Dead Space, the Dead Space remake, Like a Dragon Ishin, and F1 Manager 2023, so definitely check those out. I know that Like a Dragon Ishin is supposed to be pretty good for people who like that franchise. And then, obviously, Dead Space. Go ahead and play that. And then we also had, oh my gosh, IGN app. Epic is launching a program to incentivize devs to bring old games to Epic Game Store, which is, I was like, that's kind of weird that you'd have to incentivize that, because outside of the games that come out on PC and, like, oh, they launch on Steam because Steam's the main platform, or maybe, you know, GOG or something. But, like, okay, they come out on Steam. Maybe they have some sort of, I don't know how much Steam pushes for exclusive content since they're so huge versus, like, when Epic Game Store was coming out, they were doing a lot of, you know, they were paying for a lot of exclusive content to get people on their store. Now, obviously, that stuff didn't last forever. They can go on to Steam eventually, yada, yada. So I was curious, like, well, how difficult can it possibly be to put a game from that you released on Steam over to the Epic Game Store? Like, outside of, like, if it's got multiplayer, it's like, okay, now you got to deal with the Epic Game Store, you know, friends list and whatnot on the back end. Maybe that's the technical difference, but it's not like you're developing, you know, for PlayStation and Xbox. It's still PC. It's just a storefront. So, yeah, I was like, that's interesting that they wouldn't just bring their stuff over. But, yeah, they're launching a program to do it where, in a blog post published on Monday, the company said the program, dubbed Now on Epic, was launched to make it easier for Epic Game Store users to discover back catalog games and to better compete with Steam. Mainly, it will allow participating developers and publishers the opportunity to increase their net revenue from user spending from 88% to 100% for any eligible back catalog games they offer up on Epic Game Store. So yeah, titles that are eligible for the Now on Epic program will enjoy 100% revenue boost for the first 6 months of the release on the Epic Game Store. After that, it'll be the 88-12 revenue split. So it's like, hey, you have a old game, you know, you want to go ahead and launch on EGS, we'll give you 100% of the revenue for the first 6 months. I feel like it's a, I can't imagine it'd be necessarily a huge revenue spike for them, because it's like, okay, if it's been out on Steam for a while, people probably already got it. So you just go ahead and put it on EGS. And I'm not even, I saw like a post on, I think it was on gaming on Reddit, where someone's like, I haven't purchased a single thing on Epic Game Store. It was like just a list of like all the free games they've got from the Epic Game Store that they put up.
Yeah. And it was just like a ton of content. The only thing that I've bought from the Epic Game Store is stuff that's exclusive to it. And that stuff eventually comes to Steam anyway. So it's just like, it's just eh. Or sometimes like, I guess a lot of the stuff that I've bought on Epic is because every once in a while they'll do this like promo where if you buy a game or you spend a certain amount of money, they'll give you like a coupon for like $10 or $20 off your next purchase or whatever. So sometimes I'll do that. If there's a game coming out that I want to get on PC and that's running, I'll get it on Epic just to get that coupon and get something cheaper later. But I usually buy stuff on Steam.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think I've purchased anything on EGS. It's all been like, I think the only place I've purchased stuff outside of Steam was like the Ubisoft store. Because typically they'll have like a super sale. And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I'll get Far Cry Primal for $2 and play it on PC. And I did it with like a Far Cry 5 as well. But yeah, it's an interesting program. We'll see how it goes. And then, yeah, aside that, not a whole lot else. Like I said, there was a little bit of hoopla over, you know, prior to Spider-Man 2 launching. You know, they showcased that the fast travel system in that game and how quick it is and how really cool the transition is and yada, yada, yada. And it has like a traditional hold to confirm fast travel, like every game does. And a lot of games maybe have a press, do you want to fast travel? Yes. And then it does the load. But a lot of games do the hold to fast travel. And like Assassin's Creed doesn't. And people were saying like, oh, they're, because they were touting how quick the fast travel was, like, you know, about a second or whatever, like at 1.5 seconds. And people are like, oh, they're hiding the load behind the confirm and yada, yada. And it's like, it's such a non-story. It's like, even if they were, who cares? Because you can just cancel it. So it's like, it's still a confirmation that you want to fast travel. And they confirmed like that it's not. But even if it wasn't, it's like, it doesn't matter. There's so many games that do fast travel with the hold to confirm. And it's like, it's still a non-issue, but it was just so funny. Because you know, it's like, it's not a vocal majority. It's like one guy. Like every time there's an article like this, it's always one dude on Twitter who's like,
I was just gonna say, it's always an idiot on Twitter who's trying to get engagement.
Yeah, I see it all the time, especially with like Digital Foundry, where they're like look at it, like they don't even tag Digital Foundry, be like, look at this, the Digital Foundry, they're total liars. Like I saw this weird tweet, it's like some guy saying like, oh, they lied about something with the Spider-Man review, yada yada. And then Dark One, John Linneman's like, hey, you should try reloading because it's a visual bug or whatever, like in a reply. But even he laughs at like these people who make these outrageous claims. And I happened to click on the guy's YouTube video because I was really curious. And he's got like these comments that are like, it's like the MAGA of comments where they're like, yeah, I'm glad you stand up to that mainstream media pushing their lies. I'm like, it's a video game. What are you talking about, man? You guys got to get out, touch some grass.
They have no hobbies aside from being online.
Yeah, they just want to, they think, assume everyone's lying to them, and they're just like, yeah, you show them. You tell the truth, man. Okay. Do it.
Believe what you want to believe. That's fine. That's not affecting my game experience whatsoever. So you just have a bad time.
It's so dumb. But yeah, I know a fan fest is going on. Is it European Fan Fest?
Yeah, European Fan Fest in London. I think it's technically over now. The Primals concert might be starting or going soon, but that's not being streamed, unfortunately. Otherwise, I would not be doing this. I would be watching that. But yeah, it was this weekend, Saturday and Sunday.
So I saw a couple things from us. I saw they have the new job's called Viper. Okay, that's such a weird name. So what is, is it to relate to like any of the jobs from like 11, or is it very like new?
It's 14 original. So in Endwalker, pretty sure Sage and Reaper were both 14 original jobs. It was like the first time that they had done original jobs. And then this one.
Recap those. What do Sage and Reaper do?
So Sage is a healer. It's like a shield healer, so its main way of healing is by casting shields to mitigate damage.
Interesting.
And Reaper is a melee job, and its core mechanic is building up combos in order to like summon and channel a void scent to boost your damage for a short amount of time. So you like build up combo to go into like a burst phase, basically. They're both very, very, very fun jobs. So people were speculating, like, after the first fan fest, oh, are they going to do more original jobs? Are they going to do stuff from previous games? So they announced Viper, which is the job that Meteor, or the like main character, quote unquote, in the cutscenes is right now. That's an original job. They haven't announced the other jobs that are coming out, but they did say that the next one is going to be a magical DPS, and they're going to add another what's it called, limited job, is that the right term for it? I'm going off of like 4 hours of sleep, so a limited job, I think. So it's going to be like Blue Mage is in the game right now. It's not like a full job. You can't queue into like roulettes or anything like that with Blue Mage because it's wildly overpowered and just not balanced for regular content. So they're going to be adding another job like that. And there's a lot of speculation going around that it's either going to be Beast Master or Puppet Master because of all of the Final Fantasy XI references that are going to be in Dawn Trail.
Interesting. That Sage job sounds really cute. I didn't know that. So instead of like curing damage, you nullify the damage up front.
Yeah. So they have like hard cures too. But a lot of their skill is nullifying damage and like regen and stuff like that. I haven't played it in like super in-game content or anything like that, but I have leveled it and I play it on occasion. It's super fun. It's like, I think what drew me to it is it's kind of like the science magic-y kind of stuff that I'm drawn to with Final Fantasy anyway, where it's like very like weirdly medical based, like all of the skills and stuff like that. But its core concept is like you have what's the name of the skill, Crossus or something like that. It's like a buff that you apply onto another player, usually the tank, and every time you do an attack, it heals your target for a certain amount. So it's kind of like encouraging you to be like a damage healer in a way. And you have another skill called Eucrasia, I think it's called. I don't remember the names of the skills on my keyboard. It's Control 1. So that's the skill that does it. And when you activate that, it changes the effect of some of your healing from like hard healing to shield healing or applying shields and stuff like that. So it's really fun. You do get this kind of like stance kind of balance kind of thing with applying regen and shields and stuff like that. So it's a good like what's the word I'm looking for? Partner, I guess, to the region healers like Astrologian and White Mage and stuff like that. It's fun. It's very fun. It's very fun and flashy, and that's why I like it. I haven't played Reaper very much. Usually anytime I play Reaper is because I'm bored when I'm farming Alliance raids, and so I can kind of go in there and be bad at my job because I don't really know how to play it very well. So that's the only time I really play Reaper. But Sage I've played actually quite a bit of.
So Reaper, so you're saying they do combos to build up to do burst damage, but I know like every other job kind of you do combos just to increase the damage of what you're doing. So if you do like certain, you know, dragon, you do certain things in order to bonus damage because you did the attack beforehand. But they also have like other abilities they could do for, you know, little bits of burst damage, jump and whatnot, or what have you. So does Reaper also have those, and does this extra damage on top of it, or does it have, does the boost it get to its combos is not as high as like a monk or, you know, other jobs to kind of balance out their DPS?
So Reaper actually plays, at least at level 90, it plays a lot like Dragoon does now. So Dragoon at up to level 90, they have a specific rotation. You have like your open rotation, which applies like your debuff and your dot and stuff like that. And then you have your jump rotation. And every time you do part of the jump rotation, it builds up to, again, I don't know what the fuck it's called, but you're like dragon form. And then you basically use Gerskugel to go into dragon form, and you can do Nostron and Stardiver dive or whatever it is and stuff like that. And that's kind of like your burst moment. It's where you get your higher level skills. You want to save your like personal buffs for that rotation and stuff like that, or that burst. So Reaper's the same way, where you're doing combos and you're building up a meter. And then in order to go into like your Void Scent form or whatever, you use part of your meter and it changes your combo bar to be these like slightly more powerful skills. But they do also have, you know, they have like the cross class self buffs, like Blood for Blood and stuff like that. But I don't think they have any, I don't think they have like a party wide buff like Dragoon has. They have like a shield or like a damage mitigation skill that you can use that goes party wide if you have, if you're in the Void Scent form. But their main thing is getting into that Void Scent form and doing more damage with that.
So the Viper, did they say with the, I don't know if we actually talked about Viper. Did we talk about Viper?
Yeah, they did.
We talked about, okay, no, I meant, did we talk about it? Because we talked about
a little bit. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So then I know they also said there's going to be like crossover stuff with 11 and 16. Mm-hmm. Is there reverse stuff going to be happening in 11 as well? Like what are they doing from 11?
They didn't say anything about that. They said that the crossover with 11 that they're doing is going to be the new 24-man raid. So it's going to be a series of three 24-man alliance raids that are going to be based around Final Fantasy XI. It's called Echoes of Vanadil, which nobody saw coming, even though there's like, there's a lot of 11 references in Dawn Trail and even in the later half, the later half of Endwalker stuff, like the post main scenario. They had like the dungeon, which was Azadal's legacy, and it took place in, you know, the Baflau remnants and all of the Sothurgan stuff. And these references kind of like to Nizzle Isle. So people are hoping that there's going to be an actual Nizzle Isle, like kind of like Heaven on High type of thing. But as far as if there's going to be anything in 11, and they didn't say anything. I think they were doing this just because they wanted to kind of pay homage to it. And also it's 11's 20th like anniversary was recently, or this year, I think. So kind of tied in with that. But as far as stuff that's going to be in 16, they did say that there was going to be some kind of like crossover DLC, but he didn't say what.
Yeah, I'm curious because they did 11 stuff before, haven't they?
Yeah, there was a seasonal event. Actually, was there two? No, I think there was just the one. There was a seasonal event with Iroha that kind of coincided with her quests coming out in 11. And then I think at the end of that, like, Shantotto was there. But it was just kind of like a little seasonal event. I know.
Get out of here.
She just showed up and I was like, no, get out. I finally got away from you. So she showed up. But it was just like a little seasonal event thing. You get an armor scent that looks like Iroha's, and it was for that. But this is going to be like, it's going to have like a full story with it. It's going to go across multiple patches. And that's not even to speak to whatever other like 11 references or tie-ins that are going to be in the rest of Dawn Trail. So that's exciting. Mm-hmm. I'm so happy.
It'd be interesting. Was there anything else major that was announced, or was those kind of the jobs, the trailer, the events, kind of the highlights?
That was pretty much the highlights, which is usually typical for FanFest. They just kind of like trickle information, and then Japanese FanFest in Tokyo is going to be where they kind of, they show like the full trailer, they're going to show the next job and stuff like that, and they're probably going to announce the next limited job. But that was pretty much it. They showed a lot of like in-game screenshots and walking around the environments and stuff like that for the new areas, whereas North American FanFest, they just showed screenshots and stuff. So they showed some in-game footage of those. They showed some in-game footage and screenshots of some more areas. They showed the next tribe that's going to be there, more dungeons, stuff like that. So they just kind of like built more on that. But there's probably not really going to be a whole lot more as far as that goes, because they don't want to like spoil things. They already showed a screenshot where they had to like cover half of it because they were like, the thing in the background is a spoiler, but we wanted to show you this screenshot. So they're already getting to the point where they're not really going to dive too much into that stuff. But they're probably going to show, I think they showed concept art of one of the new trials. Actually, I don't know if they confirmed if it was a trial. It was just some kind of like big monster thing. And they were like, oh, what's that? Ooh, it looks really big. So they're probably going to confirm if that's a trial and everything like that. Maybe show it in game. They'll confirm the jobs and show the rest of the trailer. But there's probably not going to be a whole lot more as far as like super details or like more areas and stuff like that.
So when's the release date for the new expansion?
They don't have a specific release date yet. It just says summer 2024. So
interesting.
Sometime in, I don't know, July, August, maybe, I think. So Endwalker came out in December because they had to delay it. But I think Shadowbringers before that was like June or July, maybe August. So they usually try to be like around summer unless they have to delay it for some reason.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So it'll be a while.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's, like I said, that's basically it for the stuff. So we'll probably just jump straight into what we've been playing. I know you've been playing Assassin's Creed Mirage.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how far are you into, I guess there's no real way because you can kind of go at any of the targets in any order, I guess. So how many of the targets have you taken out outside of the first one?
Probably trying to visualize the little map thing.
Yeah, because there's like some like there's some like side ones you have to take out to get like the main targets. There's like little side, but as far as like, yeah, there's the like order,
the little sub ones, and then there's the ones where you get the cutscenes. I think the ones, yeah, the main order, the ones where you get the cutscenes, I've done three of them.
Three. Okay, I think that's one more. Three on top of the first one, or including the first one?
Including the first one.
Okay, so yeah, so I think so
there's,
I guess,
four of the main one, because there's like the four bureaus that you can go to.
Yeah.
So I just went, or I'm on my way to the fourth bureau, and I'm starting that stuff right now. So I'm kind of like doing the fourth one.
Okay, because I think there's five total. Like once we take out four, you get the fifth last one. Mm-hmm. I've taken out two so far, just gonna run around. But I talked about it a little bit last week with Isley. But what? How is it for you going back to the kind of more old school style of Assassin's Creed?
I am enjoying the hell out of it. I wasn't kind of, because I didn't watch anything. I was like, I know I'm gonna play it. I know it's going to be Assassin's Creed. I don't need to watch any like promo. I don't need even to watch any trailers. I just went into it totally blind. Oops, I touched my microphone and muted myself. So going into the game and having this like obviously nostalgic feeling, because it's the same kind of like the same kind of setting as the first game. And then you go to the first bureau and they have the little like thing on the roof and you drop down into it. I was like, I'm hooked now. I'm totally... the nostalgia got me. So I'm actually having like, I'm having a super fun time with it and doing that kind of that old way of doing the kills where you have to like gather information first. And there's like multiple ways that you can go about it depending on like what information you get or what path you want to take. I'm so happy they brought that stuff back.
Yeah. Yeah. There was one like side guy, wasn't any one of the like the main targets, but he was the merchant target to find out about the main person. And it was like, they're in this little room and the room's blocked by like these three heavies that are shoulder to shoulder with swords. I'm like, okay, got to get this dude out. And then it's like, I end up getting him out and I take him up. But it's like trying to figure out like how to do it. There's like different ways. And that one, the prison mission where it's like, oh, you can have the guard, like the dudes go fight the guys and you get like those tokens that you unlock to the special currencies. Like, it's growing on me slowly. I told Isley the thing I miss the most is the bow. Like, I miss range attacks.
Yeah.
And I know you have the knives and yada yada. It's like, but the range on them isn't super long. And also you can't take out the heavies with it right away. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I miss the bow. Like, I love range stealth combat. Like, that's for me, when I think of stealth, I think of a bow. Like, that's how I play Far Cry. That's how I played all the recent Assassin's Creed. You know, upgrade that bow, man. Mm-hmm. Take out people.
It's use like, oh, okay, only the sniper bows. Like, I'm a sniper. Gotta use the predator
bow. That's right. Like, oh, the short bow won't work at full string or full pull. It's like, okay, I gotta pull out the predator bow. You know, yada yada. It's like, I love that stuff. Like, because you're still playing stealthy. Because, like, the downside to taking out someone who's far away is you don't know if someone else is patrolling near them who will find the body. Mm-hmm. And this is like, okay, I got to get a little closer, yada yada. And I did upgrade the knife to the point where if I take someone out, their body dissolves poison. Although I upgraded that, like, right before I stopped playing, so I haven't had a chance to actually use it. I wish the eagle vision was a little further. I was in a part where I had to, like, go into this little area and find clues for something. I don't know if it was a side quest or a main quest, but I had to find clues. And, like, if you do eagle vision, the clues show up as, like, a kind of a darker amber, mm-hmm. like if you know you can interact with something. But the range at which the vision works isn't that good. So I, like, had to find three. And I found two, like, pretty quick. And I'm like, okay, where's the third one? And I'm like, bird doesn't help. And I'm like, I just got to keep walking around and looking for it. And it's like, it was just the item I was looking for is also really kind of small. So, like, I had to get pretty close and make sure I was looking, like, the proper direction. It wasn't, like, in a building. It was, like, down underneath a tent or something, like an overhang. And I was like, God damn it. So it took me a while to find it. So that kind of annoyed me. But yeah, it is interesting to do the whole, okay. And they say, like, oh, you shouldn't fight it. But it was like, I mean, you could, because it does that same, it brings back that traditional counter and kill kind of stuff and yada yada. It's like, okay, it's unless you fight like a heavy who only does heavy attacks and you can't do anything about it, it's like, yeah, okay, I could still kill everybody if I wanted to, but then you're they do boost your, you know, notoriety up like super high. So that's an interesting thing, because I know they that they had a version of that in the old ones. I just don't remember being able to fill up so quickly. Also, I'm like, I get the idea that the posters, like, go up instantaneously so you can take them down and you can pay someone to take them down if you want to. But it's so weird to me when, like, I'm running away from someone and then you run past a new guard. I mean, this is like this in any video game where it's like you run past a brand new guard and then they realize that they need to chase you. I'm like, are you just doing the police thing where, like, oh, someone's running, they must be guilty? Like, even if I was walking and you see me, you don't know it's me. They didn't say, yo, the dude in the white hood. Who's running with them? Blah, blah, blah. It's them. Get them. Like, they don't know. I'm in a brand new area. And then, like, breaking line of sight doesn't automatically go to the yellow. And then also, I feel like sometimes once you're yellow, like the alert, it takes forever to start blinking away. I'm like, yeah. So I don't know if it's like an AOE radius around, like, okay, they show you, like, the last time you were seen, it's like, here's a little spectral thing. That's where they think you were because you broke line of sight. Okay, now if I go and I run and I hide in like a tent or anything, a haystack, I'm still yellow. But I feel like if I keep running, eventually I break out some sort of invisible barrier around that last point where they saw me, where it's like, okay, now you're past that threshold, now it depletes. But like I dislike the ambiguity of that system. And I wish it would just go faster, like, because that does annoy me. It's like, oh, I got caught. Great. Now I completed a mission. It's like, okay, now you got to stop being, you know, alerted. And I'm like, just go away. I've been hiding like a whole minute. Just leave. And it's like, I hate that artificial slowdown. And the other thing I miss about the bow is, like, I liked the, like, lock puzzles, like, where it's like, oh, I got to get into this place. I can't quite get there. But if I can climb up this object or another building and they get the right angle, I can shoot the arrow through the window to break the lock and then I can get into the room and then do your shuffled shelf puzzle that they have in this one again.
Kind of do that with the knives, but
yeah,
you have to find the right window, which is really annoying, like, sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, well, at this point, if I found the window, I just go inside because I have to be pretty close with the knife anyway. So it's like, I missed that the whole, you know, it's like typically in like Valhalla, it was like a barred window. So you couldn't get through it, but you could shoot through it. This is like, oh, here's just the window to get in. Like, okay, now I just – typically it's like once you get to the objective, then you just open the door so you can get out quickly. But yeah, there are aspects of it that I do like. But then some where I'm like – I was doing a mission and it was like this person's like, hey, I need you to do something for me. Find something, yada, yada, as a subpart of the main mission. And I'm like, okay, I'll go do this thing. And I guess maybe I got turned around at some point because like this giant marketplace. And I found, it's like, where the hell do I have to go? And then like, I'm like, okay, then I found it. And it's like, oh, this must be the storeroom so-and-so was talking about. And like, I like, okay. And I just went in and I opened up another door. I'm like, what was I supposed to do in here? And then I realized like, oh, okay. Later I figured it out, but it was just like, and it could have been up to me. I was like, kind of like had something on the second monitor. Somebody was like not paying full attention, but yeah, I am enjoying it. I'm curious where it's going to go further. Cause I was listening to someone talk about it and they were saying like, you know, they really love where the, like, I don't know if they were a huge Assassin's Creed fan. I think they are, cause they did enjoy the game, but they did say like, they really liked where the story went with Basim. Like it said, it took them a bit to kind of get there. And then they were like, oh, I'm hooked. And I'm like, I'm curious. Cause I'm like, because he said in the context of, you know, what happens with Basim in Valhalla. Mm-hmm. So how are they going to make this interesting? And he goes, but they did, for me, it became really interesting. Yada, yada. So I'm waiting for like that to happen. And I'm assuming I have to like kill maybe another, cause you know, obviously when you kill like the djinn thing happens and the genie thing happens. But, so yeah, I'm curious, like as they go further, what's going to be interesting. I've done some of the side content, but yeah, I got to get back to it. Because I was like, am I going to beat this before I play Spider-Man 2? And I'm like, at this point, probably not, because I haven't had a whole lot of time to the game. And like, so I was like, okay. So I got to get back to it once I finish Spider-Man. But I am enjoying it more than last week, where it's like that, because I didn't have the change in combat had me really kind of upset because I missed my bow. but I am enjoying it more. I do prefer, because Isley asked me, he's like, do you think I'll like this more or less than the other ones? And I do prefer the changed style of Assassin's Creed, but that's just me. I could see them probably doing like the Resident Evil route, where it's like, here's the mainline first person Resident Evil, here's a remake that's in third person classic style. Like maybe if they did like, hey, here's the mainline Assassin's Creed in the new style, here's a expansion or smaller game that's in the old style, you know. But I don't know how you would, like, you could do that, but I don't know how they would do that narratively. Like, this makes sense because they're like, did you do the because I was gonna beat Ragnarok. Like, I played Ragnarok right before I played this game, which I didn't beat the Ragnarok DLC, but I played a lot of it, and I shouldn't have probably, because I was like, oh man, I get to play more Assassin's Creed, ooh, I like this. And it's like, why did I do this? Because now I just right turn in a different play style. But did you do the farewell Eivor mission that they patched into Valhalla?
I didn't, no. Once I finished Valhalla, I was like, oh, I'll just wait for all of the DLC and stuff to come out and I'll go back to it. And then I never went back to it. So I didn't do any of the DLC or anything like that for it.
So I did the farewell mission. It was just a, like, you know, you go in and Eivor says like, I need to go on a, you know, a journey and discover myself, yada, yada. So you're like, you're saying goodbye to like all your friends, but it's in the context of, again, spoilers for Valhalla, if you never finished it, it's Basim going in and seeing like, this is interesting. I didn't know that Eivor did this. I want to see what happens. Like, he speeds up the animus like forward in time to see her saying goodbye. Mm-hmm. And at the end of it, William shows up, William Miles, and he, in the animus, to talk to him. And he goes, oh, you're going to talk to me like this, huh? It's like a little safer for you. And he's like, yeah. He goes, yeah. He's like, but I need a, he's like, we can talk, yeah, but I need you to help me with something. I need you to do me a favor. And at the end of that, once you're done with that mission, you go back out of the animus, and then Basim draws his blood and puts it into the animus to analyze. So it's like, okay, William, for whatever reason, wanted to see this past bit with Basim. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it starts with William talking in the DLC, right? So, but it's not him saying like, you know, I wanted to look at this. It's just him with his voiceover. Also, it's weird that, like, I guess because it's standalone, like, at least I haven't seen, so I don't know, but you don't go outside the animus. Like, outside of the intro, there's like, it doesn't seem to have any more animus stuff in it.
I haven't been out of the animus yet. I'm assuming that after you do the main order and it's gonna do that flip, because I was literally telling Michael last night, I was like, I can't wait until it gets weird with Bassem and it starts to link into what happened in Valhalla and stuff like that. Like, I can't wait for that. So I'm assuming when that starts to happen is when there's going to be like an out of animus or like a cutscene or something like that. But I haven't had one yet.
Yeah, because my assumption is it's William playing through the memory of Bassem, because why would Bassem replay his own memory?
Right.
And so, but, you know, that they don't say. So I'm assuming it'll be like right at the end or something like that. But yeah, we'll have to get through there and see. I don't know, the kids crying in the background about something.
Oh, no.
But yeah, hang on. Hopefully that doesn't pick up too much in the mic. but yeah, it's a good time. But yeah, I ended up, have you just been playing that? You been playing anything else?
I've pretty much just been playing that. Playing a little bit of 14 here and there, just kind of like doing like my daily stuff. And I did the first half of, or whatever, first half of 6.5 that they released with the MSQ and finishing all that up in the trial and everything. I haven't done the last part of the 24 man raid yet. I really need to do that, but I was like, oh, I'll save it for the weekend, and then that way I can kind of like farm it and really enjoy it and stuff like that. And then I forgot FanFest was happening and I had to be up at 2 o'clock in the morning, so that hasn't happened. I've just been playing Assassin's Creed pretty much. I haven't really been able to play during the week very much. I've just been busy with other crap. So usually I just play Honkai Star Rail, or I have a Game Boy Advance now. I bought a really cute modded Game Boy Advance when we were in Monterey for my birthday, and Michael's brother let me borrow a Kirby game. So that's what I do after work. Sometimes I just sit on the couch and play my little Game Boy Advance Kirby game. So weekends have been pretty much just Assassin's Creed.
Yeah, I've just been playing some Spider-Man. Like I said, I'll probably play that before I go back to playing Mirage. Although before I get into that, so the voice actors for performance actors, did they do the performance capture? I don't recall. But the voice actors for Baldur's Gate have been, a lot of them have been playing the game, and they also, they're not big gamers, but they've been playing and been streaming it. And so the VO for Shadowheart is playing with her partner, who she is also a voice acting coach. So they're both playing co-op together. And the partner, I guess, ended up in a romance situation with Lysel. Because Lysel's very much like, you know, hey, I know what I want. You know, so she's just like, give me. And so it was really funny to see, because Shadowheart and Lysel are kind of at odds in the beginning of the game for quite a while. So seeing the VO for Shadowheart watch her partner do the romance scene with Lysel was super funny. She's like, it's like one of those, I can't watch, but I can't look away situations. So it's like, it was like this kind of awkward moment that was super hilarious. And it was super adorable to watch because they're both like, oh my gosh. And it was so funny. And then I haven't watched it yet, but also the voice actor for Lysel, Devra Wild, she's also playing the game, and I guess she's playing a Githyanki character. She's not playing herself, but she's playing a Githyanki character. And same situation, Lysel ends up liking her, and she hit the same romance scene. And I haven't watched yet, but it's got to be pretty funny to watch her react to herself in the romance moment. So I'm looking forward to watching that.
She's just like hiding behind her hands, like peeking.
Yeah, like, but it's, man, I talked about it before, but they did a one-shot D&D session with High Rollers, I think it's called, where it was all the voice actors and it was playing their characters. It was really fun. That was really funny to watch. But yeah, and then it's just I like for it's fun watching them. They're so good. It's like I go back to that. I'm curious who's gonna be nominated at for best character at Game Awards, because I'm like, because there's no like, yeah, it'll probably be maybe Yuri or Miles. I forget the actor for Miles in Spider-Man, but, and then I'm trying to think of like who else, like there's no, maybe someone from Starfield. I'm not sure. It doesn't seem like anybody really stands out. Maybe Elias, his character, but I'm trying to think of like other big games. Maybe Alan Wake will get one, but I'm not sure like other big games this year that we've played where I'm like, yeah, it totally stands out. Like you know, they're good, but I just can't think of one off the top of my head. But I'm like, the whole cast of Baldur's Gate is just great.
I'd like to see Ben get nominated.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, Clive. Yeah. I, him, and oh my God, I'm like his name, the actor, not Sid's character, but
Sid would be a good one.
Yeah, I can see him being nominated. Maybe who is the guy? I'm blanking on his name too. Not the main baddie, but the second baddie Odin.
I don't remember his name. The only
starts
other
with a B, doesn't it? Balthazar? No, that's Baldur's Gate character.
The actual character.
Yeah, the character's name.
Barnabas.
Barnabas, yeah, I knew it was a B.
I couldn't remember the voice actor's name. The only voice actor, I'm sorry to say, that the only voice actor names I remember are Ben Starr and Stuart Clark. Those are the only ones I ever remember.
Is Stuart Clark the Bahamut?
No, yeah, he's Dion.
Dion, okay, yeah. Yeah, I can see him definitely getting nominated too. Maybe, maybe the Joshua, I guess, perhaps. But yeah, I can see Ben... Sid, Jill, perhaps. That'd be tough, man. I don't know.
I know. Because once you start thinking about it, you're like, oh, yeah, Benedicta, Kupka.
Yeah, I know, right?
All very good.
This is why I said, like, I think they should have a category that's just best ensemble, just like the Screen Actors Guild does. Just do best ensemble. That way you can give it to the big ones, you know, the Roger Clarks, the, you know, all these big, you know, Troy Bakers, the Ashley Johnsons, Laura Bailey's of the world. But then you can give it like best ensemble. So like, we can't just give it to one person. Like, they're all so good and they work so well together. You know, give it, duke it out there. But yeah, anyways, I'm not too far in Spider-Man 2. Not black suit Spider-Man yet. Not super far. I did have a moment in the beginning where, like, light spoilers for like the very opening of Spider-Man 2, like, you fight Sandman from the jump, and like, there's this moment where like, he's like kaiju form Sandman, is so he's like super big, and I'm in like this skyscraper and he punches through it, and the way he punches like towards the screen, there's like windows on the left, and I guess you're supposed to technically be on the right side when it triggers, but I was on the left side, so he knocked me out the window and I went out of bounds and I just fell to the ground. But you're Spider-Man, so you don't die. I just in the ground, but I'm like clipped like to my knees to the ground, because you're not supposed to be outside, and it's just like super low poly road textures, and I can't get back up. I can't scale the building because technically it's like a set piece, and so I'm like, I can't do anything. And I look up and I can only, you see like only the top half of Sandman because they don't need to render the bottom half. So it was super funny to be like OB in this big fight. So I'm like, I guess I'll just restart the checkpoint and go back.
When the boss hits you so hard, he knocks you out of bounds.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
deletes your save file.
Yeah, and then I had this, when I was playing, I was like, okay, it launches in performance mode. I'm like, okay, well, let's see performance real quick. And I was debating, like, should I play this on my, do I want to move my PS5 back to the living room, or do I want to just play it at on my monitor? My monitor's a 4K monitor, so it's good. High refresh rate, and it's got okay HDR. I was like, I'll just play it on my monitor at my desk. I was like, okay, well, it launched on performance mode. I'm like, okay, so I played it for a bit at performance. I'm like, now I'm going to change it to the 40 hertz. So yeah, turn up fidelity and then turn it up to 120. And I'm like, okay, well, my monitor can do it. And the 40 hertz mode's like great. I loved it in Ratchet and Clank. It's like, it's, you would think being so close to 30, it wouldn't be that much of a jump, like 30 to 60 is. But it's like, it's so close to playing at 60 that I love it, because you still get that great fidelity. Plus, it's just so much smoother, because like the frame timing is, I think Digital Foundry said, like, it's almost more than half, so it's like you still get great responsiveness, but obviously in order to do it, you have to have a 120 hertz display in order to do it, yada yada. So I'm like, okay, I can do that. So I turn on that, and when I was playing, I was like, man, it feels like the text is kind of blurry in the game. I couldn't tell, like, okay, I was like, I'll just keep playing, and like, it, you know, it seems fine, but I'm like, maybe the game, you know, there's a lot of sand going around, so it's kind of blurs the image anyways. I'm like, well, the text is kind of in the UI, so that wouldn't be affected by it. But I was like, okay, I'll just keep playing. And then when I got into the city, I'm like, man, I feel like some of the skyscrapers are like doing a little anti-aliasing jitter. in some of the buildings in the distance. It's like, that seems weird, because I could have swore from the Digital Foundry video, like when they put performance and fidelity side by side, it's only in performance mode where it has lower resolution that it does the anti-aliasing thing at a distance. And I was like, that's weird. And I keep playing. I'm still noticing, I'm like, man, the UI still, like, I get like super close. I'm like, man, what's up with the UI? It looks kind of blurry. I'm like, it's not my eyes. I'm like, maybe it's my monitor. I'm like, maybe it's because I'm not playing on, but I'm like, Assassin's Creed didn't have this. Like, when I played that on my monitor, it was fine. So I couldn't figure out for the life of me what was going on. And I don't know what prompted it, but at one point I'm like, I think I changed it to like, I changed it from, I turned off 120 hertz. And then it kind of goes black for a sec, because your monitor has to, like, you know, even TVs do this. Like, if you turn HDR off, it has to like calibrate and change. It's super annoying. I hope they fix that in future hardware, because I hate, like, oh, you changed the big option? Okay, let's let the monitor turn off and then turn back on, so it like turns off those features or whatever. And I'm like, everything looks great. I'm like, the aliasing issue's gone. Like, the text is super clear. It looks better. I'm like, what? So like, I go back to turn it on. And then I go on PS5, you have the option where you can go back to the menu and settings, and you can go to video and view current output settings. And I look at it, it's like current output settings, 1080p, 100 or 48 to, or 40 to 120 hertz, whatever. I'm like, the fuck's that 1080p for? And then I realized it's because I had it plugged into my Elgato, and the Elgato HD60X doesn't do 4K 120 pass through. It only does 4K 60 pass through. So I was like, oh my God, I've been playing like an hour, 2 hours at this, wondering why the hell it was so blurry. It's like, cause I was playing, I can't play 4K 120 mode through this. So I had to unplug it from the capture device and plug it back into just straight into the monitor.
And so it just automatically changed the resolution, because it couldn't output what it was supposed to?
Yeah, because it can only output 120 hertz at 1080p, and then I think also at 1440p. But by default, a lot of games don't, even though PlayStation has, PS5 now has an option to do 1440p output, not every game has that as a resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't even doing 1440p. It was just doing... It's like, oh, well, we can pass through 1080p, so you still get 120 hertz. It's just low resolution. So I was like, okay. That's why when I turned 120 off, it did 4K 60 like it's supposed to. So I just unplugged it. Because I was using the Elgato with – when I was playing Mirage, what I would do was I still wanted to watch videos and, you know, while I'm just running around doing, you know, miscellaneous shit, because there's so much stuff you just run around kind of doing that game. It's like, I can still watch stuff. It's not a – I don't have to pay as much attention like a game like Spider-Man. There's a lot of story things going on. So I would open up the capture on my PC, listen to the audio, and then switch the input on my monitor back to the HDMI. And it'd be slightly delayed, but it's like, okay, I could still, now I can play the game with no lag, because if I play on the Elgato capture, there's like a slight lag and I don't like it. So like, I can play it full frame, no issues, and I just had the audio coming in from the capture, just slightly delayed, and then I can still play and listen to my, you know, YouTube videos or whatever at the same time. I realized, though, later on that, oh, if you capture through OBS, the Elgato, it, for whatever reason, it gets rid of the delay. Like, there is no delay, almost, versus Elgato's native capture, for some reason. The downside to that is, like, for some reason, I don't know if it's a PC thing or it's an Elgato thing, but it's like, if I turn on my PS5 right now and it was hooked, if it's hooked up to the Elgato like normal, like nothing's changed, all the plugs are there, like it wouldn't always, if I launched the capture, it wouldn't always pull the signal from the PS5. I could still go to the HDMI one on the monitor and see it, but the capture card isn't always showing up in the capture software. And if I unplug it, the USB, and plug it back in, it fixes it. And I was having a hell of a time trying to get Elgato to capture in OBS. And they're like, oh, there's like an update a while ago where it's like it caused problems and they fixed it. But it's just like some weird, stupid PC quirk where I was having just fucking, it's like to add it, you just add the scene, add capture device, add, you know, pick the Elgato, it's right there, but no, like there was no image. And I can't, And I couldn't, like, I could see it in the Elgato capture that there was a picture. So I'd have to close. I'd open that to check. Okay, it's getting the signal. But I can't keep it open at the same time because it can only pull from, it can only output to one source at any given moment. I can't have two programs pulling from the Elgato. So I have to close the Elgato capture, go back to OBS, open it up, still in the preview. And eventually I got it to work. Just it just worked. Like, I didn't change how I was doing it. It just decided, hey, well, it worked this time.
OBS, but anyways, I tried.
Yeah, I it's so annoying. And then because I had like no, I've never had any other issues with OBS, like screen capture, game capture, all that works. It was just the first time I ever did video card capture, whatever they call it in OBS. And it was just like, okay, because I thought about, oh, I could play here, but then I'm like, if I do that, I can't play at the 120 hertz mode, yada yada. So I was like, that's why I didn't end up doing it that way. But for future games I play, it's a nice option to know that now I could just, I can have it natively in the window in OBS, just full screen preview, and then not have to do the whole route the audio, change monitor inputs, yada yada. But anyways, but yeah, it's a fun game. Like I said, not super far. Looking forward to playing more. And then yeah, just playing outside of that. If I got the kid in here, then he likes to watch like Blippi and other kid videos on YouTube.
Cocomelon.
Yeah, Cocomelon, Baby Finn.
Cocomelon's the only one I know.
Cocomelon. And then yeah, I saw him at the store. I was at the store a while back at like Target to grab something there. And then it was like I just saw them in like the toy section, like, oh my god. It was like, here's Baby Finn, here's Cocomelon, like all these things I've seen on these YouTube videos that have like merchandise and whatnot. But yeah, he has like a weird fear of inflatable houses. Like we were watching like
bouncy houses.
Yeah, like bounce houses. Like we were watching, he was watching Blippi at one point, and there's this one episode where like he fills up a bounce house, and it's like deflated and it fills up, and he just freaked the fuck out. Oh, and no. So like now, if he rewatches those episodes and he knows it's coming up, because he'll know like, once Blippi starts doing whatever happens, like the minute before the bounce house, he gets really anxious. And I remember at one point we, you know, the TV in the our master bedroom isn't a smart TV. So I have like a HDMI plug that goes into the iPad, and then it can output, just basically mirror itself to the TV. So that's the way he can watch YouTube in that room. And there's like Blippi has a lot of like, you know, compilations. So you can like, oh, here's like 55 minutes. You can just watch. It's like just different episodes of Blippi. And I forgot to mention the inflatable house thing to my wife. And so then I was in here doing something. Maybe it was the podcast. I don't remember, but I was doing something in here. Oh, it might've been a work day, cause she doesn't work on Thursdays. So she, to save money from the daycare, stays with the baby here. And I just, at one point hear him just crying like crazy, and I don't know what's going on. And later I go in, I go, what's the matter? She goes, I don't know, he was just super crying. I'm like, oh, is it the bounce house? I was like, yeah, oh, he no. doesn't like that. And so yeah, he did have one episode, one where he actually sat through, like if I held him he didn't freak out, but he's still kind of, now it's like he knows it's coming, he gets anxious. And I'm curious, like there's like I want to take him to like a, because he's been near not real bounce houses. Just, and I have like it's like an inflatable ball, and I like deflated it, inflate it back up. He's fine there. Just, I don't know what it is about. I try to look at like fear of things that get larger, and I don't know what it is, but he's just like freaks him the fuck out. So
just had like one moment where it looked scary for a second, and now that's just like burned in his memory, because he's like, that's how he's forming memories, and now it's just that scary part. I mean, I can't really blame him. I used to be scared of Pinocchio when I was little, so.
Oh, that's fine. That could be like a Uncanny Valley thing or something when you're little. Even though it's like, obviously it doesn't look anything like the rock, but it could be something that's very similar, right?
That's why, because there was like one moment where he looked kind of scary. And then I was, every time anybody like showed me Pinocchio or like a plushie of Pinocchio, I would just scream, because I just remembered that like one scary frame.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't watch Pee Wee's Big Adventure because Large Marge, right? Nope. But but yeah, it's really weird. I don't know what it's about, but I gotta like, aww, take him to a real life bounce house and see if he gets scared when he sees inflated, just to see what's up. But because then Blippi just jumps in the bounce house. So I'm like, I don't know why you break out, man. But anyways, but yeah, that's pretty much it. Just got to play more Spider-Man so then I can get back to Mirage. I wish I had more time to play that prior to getting into a Spider-Man, but I knew it was like, I just didn't have enough time.
Even though I know it's short. Close together, so.
Yeah. And I know they said like, oh, you can do it like 10 hours or something like that. If you just mainline it. I'm like, yeah, but I don't mainline.
Yeah.
Like, I still do side stuff. And then I'll definitely finish it before I play Alan Wake 2. Cause that comes out next week, but I'm going to finish Spider-Man first, then do Alan Wake, and yada yada, but mm-hmm. and just play a bunch of, like I said, Oxygen not included in between. It's always a good time. But, all right. Well, I guess I don't have any other notes, so I guess we can go ahead and call it there. I said, hopefully Isley will have seen maybe Castlevania or something. We could talk about that next week and hopefully play some more, Baldur's Gate. So mm-hmm. we can talk about that. I am looking forward to going back in at some point and doing my Dark Urge playthrough. That's like, it'll probably be a end of the year thing. I think what I'll probably do is take some time off between Christmas and New Year's and just play as long as I just have everything else finished. Yeah. Just binge a Dark Urge and just, just go all out, murder everyone and just be totally evil. So that'll be fun. But all right, well, we'll go ahead and wrap it up there. So thank you for all for tuning in and listening. Thank you, Zaya, for joining. Mm-hmm. And we'll see you all next time.